What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
-38. The Buffalo Bills lose in their second preseason game of the year to the Chicago Bears, 38-0. And we're here to talk about it and hopefully calm everybody down just a little bit. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt Bove, Sal Capaccio. Sal, fresh off of a flight. You landed, what, 5 hours ago, essentially?
Yeah, I think so, basically. Thankfully, I got a little bit of sleep on the plane. It's a short flight anyway from Chicago. But the reason I got some sleep on the plane, Matt, is I wrote my arrow up, arrow down column before getting on the plane because it was easy to write, to be quite honest with you. You know what was down? I wrote pretty much everything. Everyone. And then I did add a few things in there and people, but it was pretty much, okay, look, if I was to sit here, and the way I wrote it was, if I was to actually list everything that was arrowed down, it would look like a supermarket receipt for a family of five and just it would be pretty long, right? So I got that done and got a little bit of sleep here in our WGR studios right now, doing this with you this morning and just kind of thinking back on a game last night and Not a good showing for the Buffalo Bills, no doubt about it. I believe it was the largest. I know it's the largest preseason margin of victory, like loss for Sean McDermott. And I mean, I don't know right now, Bills. I didn't take a look, but it's got to be one of the most all time.
Yeah, I think it's their most lopsided preseason loss since 1990, which is the first year that they went to the Super Bowl. And that was also against Chicago, as I believe I saw the stats.
Wow, so, yeah, I love it. You're bringing some good positive vibes this morning.
So maybe there's some symmetry. Omens. Yeah, full disclosure, like my plan too was to write on the game last night about the players that impressed during the game. And then halfway through the game, I was like, I don't really have anybody. So I'm going to pivot to basically everybody who I don't want to say stunk, but all of the players that we needed to see more from. So I think that's probably my big takeaway is like, listen, it's the preseason. The results of the game do not matter, but the individual performance do. And there really weren't a lot of promising individual performances. I left yesterday's game watching it on television being like, this isn't good enough. And the backups don't look nearly good enough to be even competing with another team's backups.
Agreed. Sean McDermott, you know, he spoke after the game, as he always does. And obviously he mentioned that Bears starters were in against the Bills twos. And, you know, you still want to compete at a high level. But even when that doesn't work out, and you might expect that in some respect, twos against twos, threes against threes, you have to have a better showing than that. That was the most concerning part for me Sunday night was just the lack of competition from the backups against the backups, right? You had to have a better showing. It's not like Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and the entire Bears offense was in there for a long time. It was, what, two series? Mm-hmm. And those two series didn't go well. But then once their backups come in, you want the Bills to be better. Look, I'll just say this to start this whole thing off, all right? I'm going to take the entire weekend as a big picture because I think Friday mattered to everything here. Mm-hmm. Friday was the joint practice. The Bills and the Bears both, I thought, had a really good joint practice. I think there was a lot of give and take on both sides. I don't know who won, who lost. There was you could point out good plays for each side, but man, the starters got a lot of reps that day. It was great. They went for over 2 hours, 2.5 hours almost. And this was everybody, starters, backups, everybody got a lot of reps. I thought that was, to me, that's more important than what happened Sunday night. It doesn't excuse Sunday night at all. And I'd also say what doesn't excuse it, but it is something. I just felt like, Matt, being there especially, this was a really tired team from 4 days in Chicago and a big joint practice on Friday and traveling in there and having a game late on Sunday night. It's not an excuse. It's not acceptable. I'm here to tell you that. I'm just telling you, though, I do think that that happened.
I kind of love these wake-up call moments, especially before the season has started, because I would imagine Sean McDermott is livid And I think that he probably laid into his team. And I'll be fascinated to see if any of this is featured on Hard Knocks, because this might be something that they want out there. Like, right, yeah. We talked about the team with editorial control. They might want it out there that, like, this is just unacceptable, even with the things that you mentioned and even with the fact that it was the backups against the starters for the Bears. It was just sloppy all around. So I do think that this is a nice little wake-up call, especially for those guys that are competing for playing time, competing for jobs, that, like, this isn't going to cut it. Obviously, these were not the starters. Obviously, somebody's watching this or listening to this 5 minutes in, and they're going, Matt and Sal, the Bills lost to the Bears last year in the preseason 33-6, and look what happened to both of those seasons. This does not matter. And that's completely valid. But the difference in that game was it was still relatively close, and then the Bears kind of just poured it on at the end. This was a shellacking from the start of the game. Like, the Bills didn't have any answers on either sides of the ball. And I think the big takeaway for me, or the thing that I'm most concerned about moving forward, is the play of the safety position. Because if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said, this is the position that I'm the most concerned about as we are getting ready for the season. I don't feel any better about the position. And honestly, at this point, I think I feel worse.
I totally understand that. And I think most Bills fans were just kind of waiting on Cole Bishop to get healthy and get on the field. Well, we saw that, and it didn't go great for Cole Bishop on Sunday night. He had a missed tackle early on. He was not in great position on a touchdown that the Bears scored. He was on a pitch count, so he didn't get a lot of reps. It was good to see him get some time out there. But I'm just going to throw it out there right now that I wouldn't be surprised if over the next 2 weeks, maybe we start to see Jordan Hancock get a little bit more of a look. I think Jordan Hancock has looked better than Cole Bishop. Now, he did get injured in the game. He was actually playing nickel at the time he got injured. He said that he should be fine after the game, but they are going to take a look at his shoulder. It's a shoulder injury. Now, I still think that Cole Bishop is the presumed starter, and the Bills wanted to be the starter with Taylor Rapp. And let's remember, if you go to Sunday night, still 3 weeks from Sunday night is the opener, right? You have a lot of time, You still have time to get Cole Bishop enough reps with Taylor Rapp to feel more confident and comfortable. But time is running out here, and you only have one preseason game left, and I don't know what the plan is next week. So at some point, what do the Bills do? Did you find it interesting that after the game, Sean McDermott said, we'll have to take a look at what, like, take a look at that and what we need?
Yep. That was the first thing that I took away from listening to it, of like, whoa, he said that. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a message to the guys that they have currently in that room. But here's the thing that's fascinating. All right, we're going to probably get to this earlier than I thought. You're on the sideline for the game. Last night, I had a rare game where I was sitting on my couch watching it on television. And that is a completely different experience than covering the game like I normally do. So I'm sitting there and I'm on Twitter and I'm seeing all of these comments from Bills fans. And I know social media is an echo chamber, but Justin Simmons' name was tweeted last night more than probably any of the guys who actually played on the Bills team. And it's a fascinating discussion. And I've thought about it a lot in the last 12 hours, because that would be a person who you could go out and get, add to this team, and immediately make your roster better. But it would also essentially end Cole Bishop's time, like, with this organization as the potential start. Like, he misses most of last year. If you sign Justin Simmons, now all of a sudden, Cole Bishop is going to miss all of this year. Are you really?
Right, because what you're saying, and I don't disagree, if you sign Justin Simmons, it's not to be a backup.
No, are you punting? Are you punting on a second round safety a couple games into his career because of injuries and inconsistency? I just don't see this team doing that. But then that also goes to the Jordan Hancock point, is like, are they really going to be taking these reps away from him for Jordan Hancock already? Like, I just don't know what they're going to do.
Part of this discussion is also Cam Lewis, who did not play in the game on Sunday night. He can play safety. He's a guy back there that, you know, that he knows the defense. I think they feel comfortable. He's not the most high-end safety. We know that. It gives you a baseline play of, okay, he can fill in spot duty. But they really like him in nickel corner. And if that's happening, then that's why Jordan Hancock has primarily been playing safety. And he has, by the way. Jordan Hancock has been more of a safety than he has been a nickel. He's playing nickel in that one instance last night in that specific series. But he is a guy that they want back there. I haven't seen enough from Derek Forrest to be confident that he's a guy that you'd like to put on there. And honestly, it hasn't gone that great for DeMar Hamlin, I think, in the time we've seen him on the field in two games throughout the preseason. So this is a position that they're going to have to really evaluate. You said, would this organization, you know, punt on a second round safety just over a year in? I know there are Bills fans out there saying, well, you have to do it. It's time to win. I agree with you, though. I don't think that's the Bills' MO. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think we're ways away from that happening. What I could see happening, though, is, again, hey, we got this guy in the second round last year. We got this guy. What was Jordan Hancock? Fifth round this year? Right, we got this guy in the fifth round this year. There's nothing wrong with letting them compete. And because of availability issues, maybe Jordan Hancock actually does wind up passing Cole Bishop at the depth chart. That doesn't mean you have to throw Cole Bishop out and never play again, because now you still have two young guys. And yes, you have Taylor Rapp for two more years on a contract. So that's a long way out. But I would see that scenario before bringing in a Justin Simmons, although anything's on the table.
Yeah, I definitely. The point from Sean McDermott, the comment that he made, was eye-opening, because him saying that they might need to see what's out there, or like essentially what they need to add, is not nothing, because that is essentially him saying that they don't believe in the players, or at least right now, they haven't. I shouldn't say they don't believe. They haven't seen enough from the players that are currently in that room. And I think everybody who's watching this or listening to this probably agrees. And the other part that's so concerning is we've written Taylor Rapp's name in permanent marker here. He is starting. He is one of their starting safeties. But availability with him has not been super consistent. And it's not like he is an elite level player who can completely carry that position. He is a good player. So when you have a good player and then a bunch of questions next to that player, that's when it becomes such a concerning position. It's not even close to me that that is far and away the most concerning thing that this team needs to figure out over the course of the next 3 weeks, because it is noticeable. Like, you just watch the game and it is noticeable that the safety play is not good enough.
I mean, I know we were spoiled with Micah and Jordan for years, but that's not even what this is about anymore. Right. I mean, like, you're holding, there's a certain standard that you can't really expect anyone to attain, but the standard that being set right now, or what they're not hitting, is they're lacking where they need to be, right? I mean, it's not about Micah and Jordan anymore. It's about them being better than what they currently are, not about getting to that standard, which might be unattainable overall, but even raising the floor from where they are right now. It is interesting. I don't think he said, see what's out there. I want to make sure I phrase it right. I don't have the exact quote. He said, see what we need.
See what we need.
And I do wonder, does he mean what's out there, or does he mean see what we need as far as reps and who's on the field and trying to piece this together from the current group?
It's probably a little bit of both. It probably is. But the way he frames it, nothing that is said by him is on accident, right? Especially with the time that passes between the end of the game and when he comes out to the podium. A lot of the times he's, of course, answering our questions and speaking to us, but he's speaking also to his team, because they know that he's, you know, they're listening to those comments. They see what he says. So I think he is trying to send a message that, like, the safety position is a concern and we need to see more out of that entire group. And if that means we have to go outside and find somebody to come in here, we're not, like, closing that door. Because for me, let's say they keep four or five safeties, because we're now getting to the point where, you know, in a week we're talking about what the 53-man roster looks like. I think it'll be Cole Bishop. I think it'll be Taylor Rapp. I think it'll be Cam Lewis. I think it'll be Jordan Hancock. And then I'm assuming DeMar Hamlin makes the team, I think. But at the same time, I don't think it's a slam dunk either.
Right. So if you go back to Friday's practice against the Bears, this was also a concern. It's the thing I liked about Friday's practice was the pass rush. Like, I thought the Bills' pass rush Friday was good against the Bears. What I didn't like was the pass coverage. That wasn't just safeties. That was corners, too. And you know where they really got hurt a lot? Right there above the linebackers, right? In that mid-level, right? A little below the safeties, a little between the linebackers and the safeties. And that's what happened. And it was also the corners. And if this team's pass rush doesn't improve, then we're really talking about some concerns, because I didn't think the second – because, again, are we totally sure what Tre'Davious White is, you know, going into the season, right? I think right now that whole group from corners to safeties is something that has to improve. You can definitely help it with a better pass rush. I like what I saw on Friday, and they did some decent things on Sunday, a couple of the young guys as well. But overall, that was a concern for me taking away from Friday as well, by the way.
Yeah, and that's the thing that you go back to is, like, okay, you're counting on the pass rush, right, to get home. And if the pass rush is better, then the cornerback should conceivably have less on their plate, and the safeties will have less on their plate, because the quarterback they're playing against just won't have enough time. But I didn't see nearly enough out of the rookie defensive lineman on Sunday night to make me feel like, okay, yeah, you like Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa and Ed Oliver and players like that, but there's major questions with Joey Bosa's health, right? You have the suspensions to Hoyt and Ogunjobi. And I think the only guy who really flashed on Sunday was Hoyt. And you know you're going to be without him for the first 6 weeks of the season. So that's going to mean you need
2 weeks in a row, by the way. Michael Hoyt's looked pretty good.
You need plays from Landon Jackson and TJ Sanders and Deion Walker. And I was watching them against backups yesterday not look good, like losing their individual battles, which is not what you want to see.
I will say, I think Landon Jackson had a much better performance.
Yeah,
Landon Jackson had a couple pressures that he was in on. And, you know, he wasn't a game changer, but he had a better performance. I thought the two defensive tackles, their performance in the Giants was better than it was against the Bears. Mm-hmm. This was part and parcel with the entire D line, though. They just got beat up. They got pushed around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Physically. You look at a couple of those runs. Now, only 4.0 yards per carry for the Bears. In fact, at one point, I thought the Bills' run defense was doing okay, but as the game went on, they got worn down. The defense was on the field for a long time. I did think that Landon Jackson bounced back a little bit. I wouldn't say he had a bad performance, but it wasn't anything of note when you have that happen to you, when you're down 38-0 and everything's going against you. It's hard to find anybody on the defense that you could say, oh, yeah, that guy really stepped up. Offensively, look, the offensive line wasn't great, but I think Ryan Vandermark had a tough night. Vandermark had two false starts to start the game, and then later he got beat on a pass rush that caused, I think it either was a sack or at least a pressure right there, that incompletion. Just not a good night for him. He talked about that after the game and not living up to his standard as well and not wanting what he'd wanted to put on film. So overall, the offensive line, backups were in there. We know that. But still, you want to have a better showing.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You know what they had.
Backups and like some third stringers, because it wasn't just without your starting five. It was also without Alec Anderson and Tylan Grable. So those are the guys who I think they're making the roster, but Ryan Vandermark is in a position battle essentially with Chase Lunt. And I didn't think that Ryan Vandermark had a strong day. I think there's a lot of questions with all of those other pieces. You probably are going to keep 10 offensive linemen. So we know the seven that we just mentioned, all of the starters, Alec Anderson and Tylan Grable. But I do think that the Bills now have some decisions to make with some of those depth guys. And, you know, that's the thing that I'm trying to tell myself of. I'm really not concerned about the offense. The offensive production last night doesn't concern me. It was a third string quarterback in Mike White, who I essentially think lost the competition last night. There were not really many skilled players around him, and there were second and third string offensive linemen in the game. That looked like it was supposed to look. I'm much more concerned on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, like you don't want to see your offensive line get pushed around. Like there were times last year when we were watching when Tylan Grable looked really, really good in the preseason. And you're like, okay, like, hey, maybe that's...
By the way, he's still in concussion protocol. It's been over a week.
I know. So, but same thing, preseason, I think they know that he's going to be on this roster. So I don't think that there's like necessarily a rush to get him back. They're getting a bit healthier, right? Like just as time passes, but it's still not like a clean health for this team.
Yeah, except now Connor McGovern didn't even dress last night. He told reporters afterward he tweaked his hamstring on Friday during the practice. Now, he made it sound like, you know, if it's regular season, he's probably out there. So hopefully nothing to be too concerned about. He was on the field last night in street clothes. I didn't see any wraps on his leg or anything like that. So hopefully that's good news. You're talking about health. Curtis Samuel did not play in this game. He did not participate much in the joint practice. He did do warmups both in the practice and in the game. He did not actually play in the practice with the team or in the game. This is a guy here who needs to get on the field soon, because wide receiver is very interesting right now. And Elijah Moore had two drops last night. Now, he also had a touchdown, nice touchdown in the joint practice, catches it, nice run. And I think Elijah Moore's on this team, A, financially, and B, offers something that they really don't have skill set wise, what he brings to the table. But that's a guy last night, again, couple of drops. You can't have that. That didn't help out Mike White. You said Mike White didn't have a good day. I agree with that. He also wasn't helped much by his O-line or his receivers.
Yeah, Mike White needed to, though, win, have a really strong performance. And he didn't do that. And even though I don't put nearly all of that on him, I think the competition is done. I think it's Mitch Trubisky's job, and I think Mike White will probably be the practice squad quarterback. The wide receiver battle is really interesting because I do think that this is one that could impact some of the players that we actually see on the field. I thought Tyrell Shavers did enough to win a job last year, and he still got cut. Has he improved his chances this year? I think so, but I think it's going to kind of come down to two of three names. If they keep five receivers, I think it's going to be two of these three guys.
Well, they'll Tyrell keep five. Shavers. The question is, do they keep six? They'll always No, I know.
I'm saying if they keep five, it's two of these three names. Tyrell Shavers, Curtis Samuel, and Elijah Moore. I think two of those three guys are on the roster if they keep five. If they keep six, then I think it's easy, and everybody that we mentioned is on the team, including Tyrell Shavers.
Well, maybe. Let me ask you this. Here's the way it has to work. This is standard. This isn't a Bills-centric thing, folks. Okay, this is how it works in the NFL. If you're going to keep six wide receivers, the six wide receiver has to play special teams. Yeah. Does he offer enough to do that? I mean, they put him as a gunner, I think, last week a little bit, and I don't think it wasn't like great, but then he did a really nice job in the joint practice as a gunner on a drill, which everybody went nuts for. But that's the question you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll even ask this. If it comes down to keeping six wide receivers, wouldn't you say Laviska Shenault actually offers more to do that than Tyrell Shavers?
I'm really torn on him, Laviska Shenault, because it feels like there's been a little buzz around him because of the position flexibility and how he can do everything. He can return. He can be a safe,
and that's
runner.
Key for a depth wide receiver.
It is, but I just don't know if he provides you anything offensively. Anything. And like, that's the thing that you need to figure out is Tyrell Shavers providing your offense something that you do not have elsewhere. I don't know, because then you could make the argument, well, why do you need Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore? And I think that that's a fair point, but I think the money complicates that for both of those two players more than it does for Tyrell Shavers.
Agreed. I think the key name here is Samuel, and you keep bringing him up, and I agree with you because it is a like $7+ million dead cap hit this year, but that money's already accounted for. Let's say $8 million. That money's accounted for. It's on the books. Whether he's on the team or not, that money is spent. Mm-hmm. If you do release him, you do have to take an additional cap hit next year, by the way. He's a post-June 1 cut. He figured that out along the way. That money is spent. The question might be, are they okay with saying, look, we have dead cap hit for people all the time, so we can. Or is it, no. If we're gonna be paying him and counting this money, we want him on the team. And he offers us something when he's healthy we don't have. The problem is he hasn't been healthy, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he's an interesting guy here.
Who do you think are the wide receivers that make the 53-man roster? I mean, it's a week from today, I'm pretty sure, is cut-down day. Who do you think is on this team, wide receiver-wise?
Shakir, Coleman, Palmer.
Yep.
Elijah Moore, I think, is on the team.
Yep.
I mean, right now, I think Curtis Samuel is 60-40, maybe 70-30, but, I mean, it was probably 90-10 for me even early on after the injury here. So I still think it's only five. I can't see them keeping six at that position. And here's why. I'm going to go back to what I said a little while ago. I know, folks, I get it. You see Tyrell Shavers making plays, even Laviska Shenault. And those are certainly conversations. And I feel bad for Tyrell Shavers. But I think to maximize the roster, they have to keep guys at other positions to play special teams. Those guys aren't going to be able to do that. And in Shenault's case, he can, but he wouldn't offer enough offensively.
Yeah, I'm looking up I think Tyrell Shavers' birthday is today, and he's 26 years old.
Well, happy birthday.
He's still a young player, and that's relevant.
Matt, I'm going to refer to something you said to me once, though. Uh-huh. You had a great analogy about hockey, and you said sometimes with hockey players, you're just good enough to be like in the NHL, but at some point, everybody keeps passing you because you're not good enough to sustain. Mm-hmm. That could be Tyrell Shavers.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Elijah Moore is younger than Tyrell Shavers. Now, because Elijah Moore has been around the league, I don't think people really, it's almost the Tremaine Edmonds conversation of like, oh, this guy is still this age. Elijah Moore is still 25 years old and has legitimately produced in the NFL. If I needed somebody to be a contributor for my offense, I would feel more comfortable with Elijah Moore than Tyrell Shavers. But the Curtis Samuel piece of this is fascinating. Because I have no clue what I think Curtis Samuel is on this team. I really do. But could they get a little creative? Could they put him, like, stash him away for a couple weeks and then open up a spot and see what happens? I don't know. They're going to have to do some sort of roster gymnastics. They always do. I just don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, last year we were talking about Daquan Hardy as the kick returner, punt returner, And then he gets cut, and then they trade him for Brandon Codrington, like completely out of left field. So, you know, I'm not going to rule out anything.
Well, one thing I think that is going to wind up happening, as I sit here now, we're a week away from this, but I'll say I think Cedric Van Pran Granger will stay on PUP. He stays on the PUP list, and that for you do not have to worry about a roster spot for him. He'll just transfer to the reserve PUP. As long as he doesn't practice at all before the 53-man roster is due, you can keep him on PUP. Then it gives him 4 weeks. And then he can kind of work back in. My apologies. Then when he's ready, you can bring him in. Speaking of wide receivers, Caden Prather actually did leave the game last night briefly in the medical tent. He had just come back from a hamstring injury. They were working him out on the side. I didn't get like any official updates on him, but I wonder if that's a guy that winds up being on IR. I mean, maybe you give him a redshirt year, right? He just kind of winds up being on IR like they've done with some young receivers in the past. And then, of course, we know Hoyt and Ogunjobi are going to immediately go on the suspended list. I also think Max Hairston is going to be on he's going to be one of those two IR designated to returns they get on cut down day where he doesn't have to make the 53. You just put him on there and that opens up a roster spot. So there, as you say, there are some roster gymnastics, and I think that would at least allow maybe for another guy or two to be on this club.
The Hairston one is interesting because as I was watching the game last night, the cornerback room a month ago, we thought looked pretty good, right? Hey, there's depth here. There's a lot of names that you like. Don't feel that way right now. Don't feel very good about the potential of Dane Jackson having to play. I don't even know if he's going to make the 53. Haven't seen enough consistently from Dorian Strong to say like, okay, slam dunk. He's absolutely in the rotation. Like, I think he's on the team, but I still don't know what to expect. Jamarcus Ingram was playing real late into the game, which is usually not a great sign for somebody, even though we know they like him and we know he got snaps last year. So I don't know if they'll be willing to wait on Hairston another month, especially because we don't know what to expect from Tre'Davious White. Like, if we knew Trey White was going to be a B or higher, like a B-level player, then you'd be like, okay, we're going to have a little bit of time here. But I don't know if we can expect that because based off of, you know, some of the things that you had said about joint practice and some of the other people who were there, it seems like he didn't have a phenomenal day.
He didn't. I thought that it was not a great day for Tre'Davious White. Look, he's had some down practices. He's had some up practices. There was a camp practice. I thought he was the best player in the field one day. Right. So we've kind of seen a little bit of both from him. Jamarcus Ingram's an interesting guy because if you are dipping into your cornerback depth and you don't know if you can trust a Dorian Strong or a Dane Jackson, well, look, I mean, Jamarcus Ingram, I think that they've shown that they can at least trust to put him on the field. He's had to play, and that helps him. And he's got position flexibility. He's the dime safety he played last year. He can play nickel. That really helps his case. That said, are you going to release Dorian Strong and subject him to waivers and any team can claim him? I don't think so.
No, I don't think you're going to do that. And I don't know how much the position flexibility is always a good thing. You want players who can play multiple positions, but they have a lot of those guys now. Cam Lewis can do it. Cole Bishop could conceivably do it. You would think that Jordan Hancock can do it based off of where we've seen him these last couple of weeks. So, like, how many players do you need who can have position flexibility if you still have major questions at boundary cornerback? So the Hairston thing, I don't know how it's going to play out. And then the other position that I left yesterday's game a little bit not confused about, but almost – I feel like Shaq Thompson makes this team because Joe Andreessen did not have a strong game, and I feel like they need a bit more experience in that linebacker room. I still think Joe Andreessen makes the roster, but I think Joe Andreessen is making the roster as a special teams contributor, and this team really will not want him to be out there for significant defensive snaps.
I agree. Joe didn't have a great night. I still think Joe is the backup middle linebacker, but I also wouldn't rule out Shaq Thompson making the team because of his position flex. He can play everywhere. And if they go to a three linebacker set, they can put him on the field. I like your point about having a veteran in that room. I still think Joe, I don't think one night undoes what they've seen from Joe Andreessen. Sean McDermott said last week to us, I'm a big fan of Joe's. He's just a football player. That's what he said. And I think Joe Andreessen ultimately is still the backup middle linebacker for this team. I want to touch on real quickly, give a little love to Frank Gore Jr. I thought he played well. Yeah. He's a guy that deserved. I gave him an arrow up. He did have the fumble, and that's something you can't have. It was in the red zone, obviously. He said he's got to take care of the ball better. He was kind of bracing for contact. The guy coming in front of him, guy came from behind him and punched it out. Nice play by the defender. 81 yards total from scrimmage. Darrington Evans has a hamstring injury. He is out now. So Frank Gore Jr. got a lot of that run last night. I would expect again next week in Tampa the same thing. There's just not a spot for him. look at good for Frank Gore Jr. if another team comes calling and claims him if he gets released, because that's what you do. You put enough out there that if you're not going to be on this team, you're going to be on another team. But that's a nice depth piece to have the way that he's performed here through two games.
Don't you just think realistically, and I don't disagree with anything that you said, the running back room is going to be the three guys who we yep. know, James Cook, Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, and then Frank Gore Jr. is going to be on the practice squad unless he gets taken by another team. But we've talked about this on the pod before. Teams tend to value their own running backs in their own yep. system. So I don't want people throwing their hands in the air and going, oh my goodness gracious, you can't subject him to waivers. Like, I feel like there's a pretty strong chance that they get him back, and then we can kind of do the same thing over again next year. Or, you know, if you think that you can get a similar type of production from Frank Gore Jr. as maybe you could from Ty Johnson, maybe you start. I just think that those three guys that mm-hmm. are their, you Agreed. Know, their three running backs are all too valuable for even this to be a competition. I just, yeah. They're not moving on from any of those guys.
No, I agree with that 100%. And yes, not only that do teams value their own running backs, you have to put a guy in the 53 if you claim them. Like, you mm-hmm. know, who are you taking a spot from if that's the case? Maybe a team has an injury and they feel that that's something they want to do.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Brad Robbins had a nice night. I know, maybe the only lone bright spot. He's had a really nice two games. The knock on him was not a big leg, but he's had a big leg here through two games, and he's done a nice job directionally punting, and that's what the Bills really want from Brad Robbins. Before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, how would you approach next week's game if you're the Buffalo Bills, if you're Sean McDermott? What do you want to see, and who's on the field?
So I'm always the risk is not the risk is far greater than the reward, mm-hmm. and there's no reason that these guys should be on the field. I don't know if they'll do that. I think Sean might be really mad with how bad the team looked and almost send a message to them and have everybody play for a series or
starters.
Two. Not Josh. I don't think. Ooh. I don't think this. I don't see it. I trust me. Ben DiNucci started for the Bills in the final preseason game last year. But do you think it's completely out of the realm of possibility to be like Sean says, you've been embarrassed for 2 weeks in a row. You're not going to embarrass us again. You guys are going out there and playing a couple series.
Wait, but who? Okay.
It would be like what we
but
saw.
Who would he be saying that to? The starters weren't on the field for that, as you put it, embarrassment, right?
I'm saying.
So the guys that were out there, to me, mm-hmm. need to have a better showing. Like, I think it's the opposite, which is, hey, the guys who are on the field, that was not a good showing. And you need to put better stuff on film. I don't think it's about putting the starters out there to send a message. I think putting them back out there to send a message.
I'm saying collectively, because I don't think the starters had like an exceptional start to the first preseason Correct. Game either. I'm saying the preseason as a whole, not just the game from last night,
right,
has been not up to the standard that the Bills preach. And I think that we could see something similar to what we saw in the first preseason game, where the starters minus Josh go out there for a series or two. And then after that, it's a whole bunch of what we saw last night and then basically being like, you better look better against your actual competition. Like
it is possible. Let's remember for people, you still have 2 weeks because if there's the off weekend, Labor Day weekend, if someone were to tweak something, mm-hmm. people would be pretty mad, but you have two weeks, but I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I hear what you're saying though. I do. I understand. And I mean, I think Sean McDermott is level-headed enough to maybe not go that far and say that, but certainly he could be that upset about their performance that he wants to make sure they get a few things buttoned up.
I just think that, you know, he should be livid with what he has seen for really the last game, but the preseason as a whole has not gone exceptionally well for this team. And I don't necessarily think that that correlates to what we see in the actual regular season. I don't. I'm not naive enough to that. But I think that, like, this would be a major pivot for them. Like, Josh has always played in some capacity in the preseason. And for him to not play, I mean, assuming he doesn't play in the final preseason game, which I think is a safe assumption, like, this would be a change in philosophy for Sean McDermott, which is interesting to see at kind of this point in his coaching career.
I wonder also, just thinking, extrapolating out here, like who's the center next week if they do that, right? If McGovern, you're going to hold him out probably if he tweaks something last week. Alec Anderson isn't back yet. Is that still Kendrick Green? Like these are things you have to think about, like who's out there with who too, right? And something like that. So we'll see how the Bills approach it on Saturday night, another night preseason game. Thankfully, this one, though, will be into Sunday morning, not into Monday morning.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, Saturday, it's a little earlier. It's 7:30, so that helps. When is, off the top of your head, you know, is cut down day Monday or Tuesday?
I got to look. Usually it's on Tuesday after the
Usually it's on Tuesday at 4 p.m., right?
Yeah, but we'll have to look and we'll have that information. We'll have another podcast for you. Make sure you subscribe to us. And of course, make sure you watch us at Sal Sports on YouTube, at Matt_Bove on X, at Sal Sports on X as well. And I know I said this last week and I'm just going to keep plugging it here. We got this promotion going on here at Odyssey. We got the big cruise coming up in May next year. You can join me, Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker, Fred Jackson, our buddy Del Reed at 26 Shirts, more, lots of people. We're going on a cruise, Matt, leaving out of Fort Lauderdale in May 10th through 17th. Make sure you go to WGR550.com. It's going to be awesome. And we're even going to celebrate Thurman Thomas's 60th birthday while on the cruise. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've got all the, you've posted about it on X a couple times, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, just wanted to make sure we're throwing
out. No, I'm saying like that's the easiest way to find the information.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. No doubt. All right, real quickly, what do you got coming up this week on WKBW?
Monday night, Leading the Charge. If you're watching this on Monday morning, afternoon, we've got our weekly show, Leading the Charge, 7:30 for a couple more weeks, and then it becomes goes to 7 o'clock, so an hour every single Monday night, getting ready for football. You know, I'm assuming the Bills are going to practice three times this week, so we'll probably be out there at practice three times, and then we're, you know, it's the busiest time of the year, which is awesome because there's a ton of stuff going on. But like UB football is less than a couple weeks away from their start of the season. High school sports are obviously starting to ramp up. So we've got all of our Super 7 stuff that we do. And then like somebody posted yesterday, I think the Sabres are a month and a half away. That's also bananas because I haven't really thought about that a lot.
Thanks a lot to Jake Galley for producing here today. Yeah. And it's always game day in Buffalo. We'll talk to you next time.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.